This is the Business Storytelling Show, a top global marketing podcast listened to in more than 100 countries, live streamed on social media, and broadcast on DBTV. Christoph Trapp chats with industry leaders to help your company tell better business stories. Here's today's episode.
Let's go, business storytellers. How's everyone doing? Thanks for joining me. Episode 639, Automate Your Busy Work. We are not automating live streaming quite yet, but there's certainly a lot of things you can automate when it comes to booking guests, you know, follow-up, even some of the content creation after the fact. So I'm always excited to find out more about the topic. How do we do that? How do we automate the things that make sense to automate and focus our energy on things that actually drive more impact? But before we get there, I want to quick shout out here to the crew over at Thinkers 360. They named the Business Storytelling Show as one of 125 podcasts of thought leaders you should listen to in 2024. So I hope you listen to us. Of course, you're already listening to us. So what's the point of reminding you of that other than to show off? But to show off, we're going to talk about Automate Your Busy Work. Tank wrote this book, very enlightening book, certainly, and we always are looking for tips and tricks on how to do that. So I'm very excited to welcome him to the show today. Welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Nice to see you. Really glad we connected at the end of the year here to talk about your book. And I think that's one thing a lot of people are probably struggling with, right? What do you automate and what don't you? I think in your book, if you can talk about the whole, I don't know if you call it the dopamine rush, but maybe that's what it was, right? There's a rush. Oh, let's get this done. Let's check it off the box. Maybe we can start there. Why is that a thing that people apparently are addicted to?
It's easy to get lost in our to-do list because it's like we get that that rush of getting things done, like checking things off. But the problem with that is even though we are actually doing all those busy work, we are not really accomplishing the important things. So in the book, Automate Your Busy Work, I talk about why you know automation is really useful, because when you automate things, the goal is not to just, not do anything and then go to vacation or like 4 hours a week. The goal is actually to be able to focus on the important work. So the goal is to be able to do the things that matter. And if we can automate the things that are taking away our time, like that busy work that really doesn't matter if you do it or if the automation does it or if you delegate it, if you can get them automated, then the time you save can help you there. I talk about the something that I call the time audit. So what you can do is like you can start a spreadsheet, and every top of the hour you can make a note of how you spend your time, and at the end of the week you can total them up, and then when you have those totals, I want you to ask two questions. What should I spend my time on? And what shouldn't I spend my time on? And the things that you shouldn't be spending your time on, that question is more important. The reason that question is more important is those things are not just taking away your time, but they are taking away your opportunities, your motivation. You get exhausted from all that busy work, all those interruptions. And because of that, you have no time for the important things. I love that Eisenhower matrix. Basically, it's like a 2x2 matrix where you have the important and not important in one, and then on the other side you have urgent and not urgent, and the things that are really urgent and important that are they happen very seldom, like they don't happen a lot, and when they happen you can take care of them, right? But the problem is our time is mostly spent on things that seems to be urgent, but they are not important. Like, paying off those bills, like just answering those questions you receive on like Slack, or just answering all those emails you receive. Like And you start working and you get all that busy work and you keep doing those things and you're already at the end of the day and you haven't really worked on any of the important things. So one approach I use is to I focus on important things in the morning. So when I start working every morning, basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to launch this text editor that's full screen. I use IA writer on Mac. And on this full screen, I will just start typing. I will start journaling. And I will just ask myself this question, like, what's the most important thing that I can work on today? Like, and it doesn't have to be like something really like flashy. It could be something like, you know, I need to like research something. I need to learn about something. Maybe it's something, it's a book that I need to read so that I can actually educate myself about something so that I can be better at that. So I focus on important as opposed to urgent and make sure that until noon, I actually work, get something important done and get the most important thing in my business or my personal life. Make sure that I get something done. And once I do that, I start the day ahead of the, you know, ahead. And I don't have, you know, rest of the day, I can have meetings. I can have all that busy work. And it doesn't bother me as long as I get some important work done in the beginning of the day.
You know, I'm also a big fan of getting stuff done first thing in the morning. I mean, I just basically roll out of bed and start writing or, you know, do something like that. And it works for me. You know, what's interesting to me, though, when we talk about like the urgent things or they feel urgent, like if you have an email coming in and you respond right away because you just want to get out of your inbox. Well, part of the problem with that response is that the other person might do the same thing and it never ends. Right. So like you didn't actually get rid of it because they just write back. So what I do is a lot of times I don't write that many emails, to be honest, but I send my emails at certain times of the day. So if I'm responding to somebody, I schedule it for 8 a.m. or if it's after 8 a.m., I schedule it for 1 p.m. And then if they reply at 3 p.m., I'll reply tomorrow morning, unless it truly is urgent. So I don't go into the constant email conversation issue. When you're auditing time, how do you do that, though? And how much control do you have to have over your time? I mean, my days are kind of structured how I need them to get structured. But I'm also thinking about, you know, people who have to be in meetings, not because they're good meetings, but because the boss says so. So how do you make sure you kind of figure out how to make that work?
Yeah. I mean, most of the time people feel like they have to be, you know, be available constantly. Like they should be available all the time. But if you explain to people, okay, if you tell them, okay, in the mornings, I'm just focused on deep work and just, you know, please let me work on this, you know, in the afternoon or something like that. And I know that, you know, some meetings you cannot change, but most of the time that you can actually figure things out. And most of the time, the people you work with will be understanding and they will appreciate it actually because they have the same problems. And that's why I think, you know, if you explain to them that how you work and how you know, prefer, like, by the way, the morning time is for me the most productive time, but it can be different for everyone. So, you know, everyone actually has a different productive hour. Some people prefer to work in the afternoon. Some people prefer like nights. So it depends on the person. But, you know, if you take, and most of the time, it's not that those meetings that are actually taking the like disrupting you. It's usually those, like, you know, those Slack messages, those emails, like constantly checking your emails, as you said. An average office worker receives 175 emails a day. And I was also receiving hundreds of emails a day before I applied a solution, an automation solution to my emails. And I talk about this in the book, but I can talk about it a little bit here. The problem I had was, like, I was receiving all these, like, so many emails. And because I wasn't sure like which email is important, I was constantly stressed about my emails. So what I looked at all these different email products. Like I tried like, you know, 10 different email products, and some of them were like, you know, promising, like, you know, they use AI, things like that. But none of them actually helped me. And while I was searching, I actually kind of figured out what the problem was. We receive emails by like date and time order, right? It all comes into our inbox. What I really needed was, basically, I wanted to see my emails by priority. So I wanted to see the top priority email at the top, and then next priority email next second, and then so on. And at the bottom of my inbox would be like the newsletters or like the spam that I don't care about. So if I could have that, then I could just look at the top emails and either respond to them. Even if I don't respond to them, I would be sure that I'm not missing something important. I wouldn't feel like checking my emails constantly, because, you know, when I check my email, even for 5 minutes between meetings, I could take care of the top important emails. So the solution I applied was we are using Gmail as our in our company, even though we are using our domain name, we are still using Gmail. And basically, Gmail actually has these label and filter features. What I did was, basically, I created these labels, level 1, level 2, and level 3. And I created all these filters so that when a very important email arrives, the filter actually sends that to level 1 inbox. And I defined, like, for example, if our VP of HR sends me an email directly to me, that's going to go to level 1. Or if the publisher of my book is Wiley, if someone from Wiley emails me, that's probably important, so I should be responding quickly. So that goes to my level 1. So I created these labels, and I created these bookmarks in my browser so that, let's say, you know, I'm between meetings, or I just finished my deep work in the morning and I'm going to check my emails, and then I click on my bookmarks and I click on L1, level 1, and I see the top priority emails. You know, 5 to 10 emails, and I can quickly process them, make sure that email inbox is processed, empty, inbox 0, and then I move on to level 2 and then level 3. And this approach not just saved me time, but also made it like less stressful for me, so that I don't have to worry about missed emails or important missed emails. That really worked for me. And even when I'm not really working, let's say I'm on vacation, I'm not working, but I can check my, you know, top priority emails, make sure that, you know, I'm not missing something really urgent, and then, you know, I have that peace of mind that you know, everything is good and continue with my vacation. So it's not just about the time. The automation is about prioritization. It's about having that peace of mind. It's also about working on the important things, making sure that you take care of important things so that you can advance in your career. You can advance in your, if you are a business owner, your business grows and becomes more successful.
You know, I'm certainly a fan of using technology to make things easier, to you know, take things to the next level. And the one thing I was thinking about as you're talking is, I mean, I use automation to create clips from these videos, right? And we'll do it right after. Automatically, we got 4 clips, 10 clips, whatever it might be. And that used to take way longer, right? But I still have to check it. I still have to make sure, hey, whatever is in that clip, does it actually make sense? Is it a full thought, or at least a half a thought, or is it worth publishing as is? So I'm trusting the technology, like I'm trusting in automation. Like, for example, you know, when you book as a guest, you get a bunch of emails reminding you when we're going to meet, what we're going to do, how it's going to work. All, it's all automated, right? Like, but when guests respond, they respond like I'm talking to them, and I can once they respond, but it's all automated. But I also put some trust into the technology. How do we overcome any mistrust, if that makes sense, right? And know that it works. Where do you need the checks and balances?
So I talk about this framework because I believe automation is not just something you do once. It's basically about building your systems and making sure that they work properly. So, and I talk about this automation flywheel framework. It basically has like 3 steps. Basically, it's divide and conquer, design and implement, and refine and iterate. So what you are doing is that in the first step, in the divide and conquer step, you understand your workflow and you describe your workflows, basically with your podcast, how you design your podcast, how you organize them, how you schedule them, and how you communicate with the guests, and how you like prepare all those like clips and things like that. So basically, what I described there is like understanding your workflows and creating these workflow charts. So you actually figure out like, you understand how you work and what kind of systems you have currently, what kind of processes you have. Once you create those flow charts, once you create those workflows, the next step is to look at where you can attack next. Like, where can you automate next? Like, you don't have to like automate everything at once, but as you did, you automated like many of the things, and then some of the things are not automated, which is okay. But you want to make sure that the parts that you automate work properly, right? And that's the last step: refine and iterate your systems. And to be able to do that, you have to kind of change your like mindset. So, like before you start automating, you're kind of like an individual worker, individual contributor. Let's say at work, you're an individual contributor, right? So whenever someone asks you to do something, you do that. You take care of things, right? But once you start automating, once you start building your systems, basically, you are the manager of those systems. You are the manager of the automations. So you need to start to think like a manager. And what does a manager does? Manager doesn't do those things. Manager actually oversees all those things. So like, you're not managing other people, but you're managing your automations. You're managing your systems. But the manager should be like reviewing things, like watching the numbers, like look at the KPIs, like key performance indicators. If there are problems, you need to review those problems. So the work doesn't go away, but the amount of work you do is less. You get more things done. You're much more efficient. You're much more productive, but you still need to make sure that things are moving properly. And the way to make sure that things are working properly is to look at the numbers, look at what's going on, review things like periodically, like weekly, daily, weekly, or monthly. Just look at your numbers, make sure that all these workflows are working properly. And when something breaks down, you need to get in and fix those things. And of course, you need to also continuously improve your systems. It seems like a lot of work, but it's better than doing all those things manually yourself. And it's more fun because designing something, designing your systems is fun. Designing your automations are fun. And when you design your automations, you always have opportunities to do more. And that's great for your career. That's great for your business. And whatever you are trying to get done, it helps you become more productive.
And that's ultimately really what it's all about, right? Becoming more productive, finding the time for the right things to do. You kept talking about testing and trying new things and evolving. And I think your book talks about that a little bit too, right? Where people go back to whatever the default was, right? Like, this is how we used to do it. This is kind of the default, right? Like, this is how I have to work. Why does that happen? And what kind of tips can you offer for people to actually keep moving forward, adapting to those new things, and kind of folding it into with what you're trying to do? And I think, like, I do that all the time, you know, but like the core of what I do stays the same, but then how I do it certainly has evolved tremendously over the last 20 some years. But how do people do that if they're kind of stuck, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, it's hard to really change things because people love habits. Once you get used to something, it becomes easier for you to do. But you have to consider really how you are spending your time. Even if you enjoy something, even if you enjoy a busy work, think about the lost opportunity there. Like, you are actually losing opportunity to something much better, something much more creative. I mean, if you enjoy it so much, of course, like, you should do it manually. You should continue to do the busy work. But most of the time, it's just like because we are afraid of that change. We are afraid of the change. And I think the solution is we have to make time to save time. We have to take time to educate ourselves. We have to take time to research available products, available tools that we could use. We have to take the time to like learn the new tools and kind of also learn the tools we already use. Like they have like so many automation features, just like Gmail, that I looked for like so many other products and I couldn't find it. And months later, like I said, okay, hey, this is the solution I need. And Gmail has all those features, already has that. Like I was actually first thinking, hey, Gmail actually, you can program things, right? I was thinking, I'm going to actually write code because, you know, I was a developer in the past. And when I looked at it, I didn't even have to write it. And because this is the age of no code. So we are living in a different kind of age now. Like there are just like so many no code products that allow you to build your own solutions. My product, JotForm, is a no code product. So basically, you can create your own forms. You can build your own solutions. But we have all the pieces that, and they're all customizable. You can automate emails. Like you can send someone a form. You can send them a reminder. And then you can build approval flows. You can build these, like ask them to sign a signature. Like you can actually automate all these workflows using JotForm. And this happened because I mean, it's been 18 years since I started JotForm, and it started with forms. But the people who are using forms, we discovered that they actually needed help with all these different kinds of automations. So we kept adding them. But JotForm is just an example. There are just like thousands of these no-code products. And if you go to a website like g2.com, that you're going to find in any type of category, you're going to find hundreds of products competing with each other, and you can read their reviews, and you can learn how other people are using these products to become more productive, to automate things, and that can give you inspiration to use these automation products. But it's all about kind of like taking some time to learn about things, and it's great for us. Like, you know, it's great opportunity to grow ourselves, to learn more tools, educate ourselves. So it's a good thing. And at the end, we will save time, and you can use that saved time to accomplish more and get ahead.
And that is JotForm.com, correct?
Yes, JotForm.com.
JotForm.com. Check it out. They still currently, if you're listening live or early on after the episode has been published, there's still a 50% deal on annual plans going on. So check that out. Really appreciate you coming on the show. Nice to meet you. Nice to see you. And good luck with everything. Happy New Year. Happy holidays.
Thank you for having me, Chris. Happy New Year to you too.
Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review the Business Storytelling Show on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. See you then.